And welcome to Open Lines here. And, of course, share with us your stories. In addition to Open Lines, how close you came to dying. I'd like to hear that story. Super Bowl Sunday this Sunday. We're going to be on the air Sunday night for you. And the game is going to be played in Tampa Bay in Florida. But lots of folks aren't going to have any Super Bowl parties like they used to have. Things have changed because of COVID-19. As a matter of fact, a lot of heavy advertisers have pulled out a Super Bowl last Sunday this year because of the same thing. But check in with us if you're going to go to any Super Bowl bashes. Tell me if you're going to be wearing your mask or not. I'm just curious about that. But we'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let us go to the phones as we have open lines for you. Let's pick it up by going to Perry, first-time caller, truck driving in Mississippi. Welcome to the program, Perry.
Well, praise God, George. Thank you for taking my phone call. And hello, everybody, from the Hudson Bay to the Florida Keys and from the Empire State to the Golden Gate. Glad
I love
to be
it.
On Coast to Coast AM.
Perfect.
Before I get started, I always said if I ever got a chance to talk to George Norrie, I wanted to let you know that you share a birthday with a dear friend of mine who we lost last year due to COVID and other underlying health conditions. And he was a radio legend, and he was also your competitor, the old Midnight Cowboy, Bill Mack.
Oh, yes. Classic guy. Classic guy.
Classic guy and a very good friend of mine. And also just want to give a shout-out to Phil Meadows and Maya Young. They work with me here at the, I can't say the name of the company we work for, but we drive at night delivering auto parts. But I have an interesting story, George.
Let's hear it.
I'm a preacher, and I make no bones about it. Love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. August 29th, 2012, we had Hurricane Isaac, a Category 2 storm, move on shore around Louisiana. Now, I knew I shouldn't have been out driving a truck, and any truck driver would tell you, Brother George, that if you drive a truck in the wind, it's like driving a sailboat. But I knew people in Brookhaven, Mississippi, and other surrounding areas needed gas cans and generators because there was going to be no power. Well, as soon as I went out and the first gust of wind hit the truck, I was like, man, I don't need to be out here in this. I need to turn around and just go back home. But I pushed on through, and I got there and made my delivery. And on the way back, I was like, okay, I know that there's going to be a tree laid across this road. I just know it. I said, Lord, just got to get me through this.
Oh,
but
boy.
Take me. Well, I was on my way back, and I got on Highway 13, just north of Prentice, Mississippi, and I'm going down the road. It's still kind of windy and rainy. And I said, okay, there's going to be a tree. I know there is. And George, as soon as I topped the hill, there it was. My headlights hit it, and I was doing about 55 miles an hour. Well, in Mississippi, there's deep ditches on each side, very deep ditches. And so I went to get on the brakes, and brother, when I did, the truck started to jackknife, so I had to gouge on the gas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to straighten my truck up. Well, I believe in a God that cannot fail, and he's always in control, and he won't lie. So my last act of defiance was I blew the horn praying to God the tree would just jump up and move out the road. Well, George, it didn't, and I hit the tree at about 50 miles an hour, and when it did, the tree broke in half, come over the windshield. And I was always had this fear of dying, of not necessarily dying, but feeling pain when I die. I didn't want to just lay there and suffer. And,
right.
You know, that you see in, like Saving Private Ryan, these poor men on the beaches of Normandy screaming for their mother. I didn't want to be just in agony, just laying there dying. So, but everything started happening in slow motion. And the minute I hit the tree, everything slowed down, and I knew that God had total control. I knew everything was going to be all right, but there was a huge limb. Now, these truck windshields are thick. It takes a lot to bust them, and I've driven through hailstorms.
They're like they're almost like a half inch, almost, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, they are. So, but I hit with such force that the limb... Now, I'm the only one in the cab of my truck. There's no one in this truck but me and the Holy Spirit. So when I hit the tree, the limb, I see it coming right for me. And I see the limb come through the windshield.
Oh, my God.
And right as it, especially to go right in the middle of my head. And I told Tommy that I've got pictures I'll send to y'all on your email. A hand grabbed my shirt and snatched me out of the way at the last very second.
And there's nobody else in the cab, just you.
Nobody else was in the cab of the truck but me. When everything come to a stop, and I looked up beside me, and I saw that huge limb, I said, good Lord. I checked, you know, all my appendages, made sure I wasn't missing no fingers or nothing.
Yeah.
I wasn't gushing blood. I said, God, what was the purpose of this? And the Lord spoke, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things should be added unto thee. And, brother, I know we've had some things going on in this world, but since that moment, I have not worried about nothing else. Now, we all have money issues, and we all have things that bother us. But as far as the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that God don't give us a spirit of fear. And I'm going to tell you right now, George, people who say that God's not real, oh, God is very real. You may not can see him because, according to Exodus 33, we're not worthy to see him. Only Moses got to see the back parts of God.
That's a miracle. That's a miracle story, my friend. A miracle story.
Because I went to church, and the man of God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to my old pastor, and I did not tell nobody, but God spoke through him and said, the devil tried to kill me that night, but it was my hands that pulled you out of the way.
That's a story, Barry, that you will never forget for the rest of your life. Thanks for sharing that with us. Reminds me of a truck driver story that we had. I've talked about it several times before, where a truck driver was going around the ledge and he fell asleep. He woke up. He was going right over the edge with his truck. He was done. It was over. A hand reaches onto his steering wheel and turns the truck back onto the road so it doesn't go over the cliff. There was nobody else in the cab either. I mean, it's a miracle that these things are happening, and they obviously are happening all over the place. Next up, let's go to Jan in Brooklyn. Jan, welcome to the program.
Hi, that was a great story.
I loved it.
Guess what, George? I have something fantastic for you. And the thing is, after I tell you, this is probably one of the best things you ever hear. I want a present.
You want a present from me?
Well, the present I want is when you come to New York, I want you free tickets for your lecture.
If we come to New York, I will promise you that you will be comped.
Okay, great. The story is, because you want to go on airplanes, if you're forced to take a vaccination, I know what you can do. Russell Blaylock said, you put a cold ice pack on it all day long, and that'll take away the side effects. Also, you get homeopathy. You want the website for Russell Blaylock?
No, I'll get it. I can find it.
Because it's not under his name. It's another website. And also, I have another one thing. Oh, also, did you hear how in Germany and France, they're not letting people 65 and older take the vaccine? It's probably because it's so dangerous for them.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not so sure, Jan. I've heard about it. I'm not so sure it's so dangerous. They're just playing it safe, I guess. And, you know, I don't want people. I'm not taking the vaccine. I'm going to be very honest with everybody, as I always am. I don't take the flu shot, and I'm not going to take this vaccine. I'm loading up on supplements, folks. Vitamin D3, vitamin C, zinc, quinine water, which comes in tonic water. I'm taking multiple vitamins. I'm taking the Longevity Critical Health News Program. I'm doing all that. And, you know, knock on wood, so far so good. But that's my preference. But we'll see what happens if they mandate these things for shots. Tom and I fly all over the country all the time. And we'll see what happens. We shall see what happens. And it looks like, by the way, Contact in the Desert, which is going to be sometime in June, we'll have information up at the coasttocoastam.com website. will be via Zoom this year. And so we'll let you know where it is so you can see some of your participants on that, too. Roger in Ohio, welcome to the show. Hey, Roger, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
How you doing? Good.
First-time caller.
Well, thanks. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. The gentleman you had on there was the truck driver. Well,
what a story.
I'm also a cargo pilot, too, but I'm retired.
Uh-huh.
I did that work for 40 years. Yeah.
That's a great job. Thank you. My 19-year-old granddaughter is studying to be a commercial pilot. She loves it. She loves it. She's only got 100 hours so far, but she's on her way.
Pilot on the ground, George. That's my airway is the freeway. But I concur with that first guy you had on there. Boy, truck drivers at night is definitely an experience that a few people get. I mean, a lot of people travel, but it's you're on a mission. You got to take care of your cargo. You got to take care of yourself. So I was in Janesville, Wisconsin. It was 35 below zero outside, and it was time for me to get back to Cleveland. And I'm driving down the freeway, and I'm trying to keep up what he's classified as one of my big brothers. That's the big rigs. I'm in a small cargo van, but we got respect for each other out on the road, you know. So I'm trying to keep up with my big brothers, and all of a sudden I lose it on the ice, and I take it off the road. And I thought I died. I mean, when I woke up, I was in the middle of the median between the two freeways, and I was trembling and shaking, and it was terrible. There was a kid that came up to me. He had this big, huge Bigfoot pickup truck, and he come up to the door, and he says, "Hey, are you all right? I saw that whole thing." He put a sling around my truck, and he pulled me out of the ditch. And I tell you what, it's just an experience that is very a shocking thing. It really is. We try to keep America rolling at night. Our job never stops.
Yeah, well, so, you do a great job doing that for sure. Have you seen things slow down, Roger, in terms of supplying people, but our business is still moving along?
Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
That's good.
Yeah, and like that gentleman there, I had JC in the passenger seat with me. I talked to him, even though he's really not there, but I know he's listening to me. And I used to talk to him every night when I was out on the road. And I think he was there for me that day for sure, that evening, because something happened and everything went black and I woke up and it was like, well, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm still alive, but I'm shaking.
Yeah.
And it's just it was like, wow, this should not have happened, because what I saw, George, I saw the street below and the two retaining walls coming at me. And I said, "Oh, that's it, Raj. You're done. It's over. It's over." And here it is that the whole vehicle spun one way and I was between the two highways. And I thought I was dead. I really did.
I bet it gets emotional thinking about that sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does very much. I'm all jiggly now just thinking about it. And it's like, welcome to the world of transport.
You got it.
That's exactly. Somebody had told me when I went to trucking school what to expect, and I didn't say, that's never going to happen to me. And sure enough, it does. I mean, it's. I've had a couple of close calls with deer up in the mountains in the fog, driving down to Baltimore, Maryland, and I had to stop on the brakes. And I'm in a big truck now, and I had a really close call with that, too.
Well, those things don't stop on a dime, that's for sure. Raj, keep driving safely. You've got a guardian angel out there, my friend, and let's keep keep that person with you to be sure. Text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for us?
Hey, in from Marshall in Lake Tahoe. Do you think wisdom is inherited or is it gained by experience?
I think it's probably both. I think it doesn't hurt to be genetically inclined from smart parents, but I think you can develop it and grow with it and train yourself to do it too, don't you?
Yeah, I think experience though more than genetic.
Yeah,
I do. Life experience. Nothing like life experience.
Absolutely. Next up on our wild card, Gladys is with us in San Francisco. Hello, Gladys. Welcome.
Hey, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hope you are too.
I am. Thank you. Doing well. Really nervous, but you are just the man I need to talk to.
All righty. Go for it.
All right. So you are maybe the second person that I have told about this situation, and it's really creepy. Something happened to me when I was 8 years old.
What happened?
And, oh, God, just thinking about it right now. Okay. I was going through a few of your archived shows. You were speaking with a lady about shadow people.
Okay.
And
Heidi Hollis.
I'm sorry?
Heidi Hollis.
So it reminded me of what happened to me when I was 8 years old. And I've always wanted to get an answer or someone that would be able to talk to me and tell me that I didn't lose my mind.
Well, you probably didn't lose your mind. What'd you have, some kind of experience like that?
Yes. And I mean, I can still remember, like, right? I can still remember it, right? Now, I was woken up around 2:30 in the morning. I just woke up, and I happened to like look out of my doorway in my bedroom in my two-story home, and the house was dark, and my family liked to have all the lights out, I think, at night. And so as I'm like looking through this doorway, I see this shadowy figure of a thing.
And you're 8 years old, too, and you see this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember exactly, but I've always tell myself I was eight. I remember being in third grade.
Must have scared the living daylights out of you.
Terrified.
I bet.
It looked like a silhouette that was peering in. Oh my God, peering in the room at me. Okay.
Did it seem to have a tall hat? I got to ask you that.
Yes.
Yep.
Like Abraham, I thought he looked like Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, they do. But you just see the shadow of these things.
Yes, and on the other side was a short, like, chubbier one. Like
and
on the other side,
they scared the living daylight. But you didn't get hurt, right?
No, I did not get hurt, but it did happen for I feel like it happened for days or weeks.
And then it just finally stopped, didn't it?
And it just finally disappeared.
Yeah,
I just run to my mom's room, and I don't know how I even went through the hallway.
This is what you need to do. You need to go to our website in the search engine at the top, type in Heidi Hollis, Hollis. Send her an email. She'll get back to you. And she's doing podcasting and everything else. And she'll tell you a little bit more about this, much better than we can. But you definitely had some kind of shadow visitation, to be sure. More open lines when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines. George Knapp tomorrow night on the program. I'll be back on Sunday, and then we've got a great week of programs for you. Let's go to the phones. Mr. Cornelius is with us in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello there, sir.
Hey there, George, and all the callers and listeners. George, I just want to remind everybody, too, and then I'll go into my little subject. This is, of course, Black History Month. I happen to be an African-American. I served the military police corps, and I trained in Alliston, Alabama, with Fort McClellan. That used to be the old MP school.
That was a tough school, too.
Oh, was it? And Ooh. Fort Leningwood, now Lost in the Woods, as they call it, is the new MP school.
That's right.
But I trained there. I wish I could have met Annie there, but I trained there in 79 and 80. And I tell you, boy, and it was the old Kim school, too. And it was the WAC school where the Women's Army Corps was trained there. But I want to remind everybody on Wednesday the 10th coming up on the History Channel, they're going to have the history of the Tuskegee Airmen.
That's a great story.
Korean War vet, and he knew some of, not all of them, but he knew some of the Tuskegee Airmen because he didn't make World War II, but he knew actually some of the Buffalo soldiers and stuff. So
they made believers out of a lot of skeptics, didn't they?
Yeah, and I don't know if you knew this, George. There was a tanker unit that trained here in Alexandria, but it's called Camp Claiborne back then during World War II. And they were all black tanker units. And they were the best tanker unit that the military had. And George Patton said, look, I want the best. I don't care if they're white or black. I want the best tankers to fight these Germans over there. And by God, that was the best fighting tanker unit. And, of course, you know with the Tuskegee Airmen, they stayed with those bombers and stuff, knowing the Red Tails. And that's how the white pilots knew that they had the Tuskegee Airmen guarding them straight, you know, through German air flak and everything.
Yep.
But
they were the best.
What I wanted to talk about, too, George, you're talking about near-death experiences and stuff like that. And then, too, I'm going to say I believe the old man's going to win the Super Bowl, Brady, and hopefully he'll retire after that. But I like the young man. I think it's going to be close. It may be 1 to 8 points. So I think it's going to be one you'll have.
Now, there's not going to be a lot of people in the stands, though, right?
I know. They're going to have them phony people in the stands and stuff. But I wonder what they're going to do with that old ship. Are they going to shoot that cannon off when they score, either team?
That's a good question. And are they doing the Super Bowl events and all that? I guess they are, right?
They are. They still are. But it, like you said, it's limited and all. Just like Mardi Gras here in Louisiana. We're not having all the big parades and parties and stuff. What they've done, like in New Orleans and stuff, everybody's done their house up like a float. So you ought to see it online. So if you want to look at some Mardi Gras stuff from New Orleans.
Are you into Super Bowl this year? It's not the same, is it? It doesn't feel the same.
Well, a lot of things aren't the same, George. And, you know, Papa passed in December, and I just don't.
How old was he, Cornelius?
He was 92.
All right, my mom's going to be 92 in May. My dad went at 88. But, you know, those are good runs. 92 is a pretty good run.
Yeah, and my mom was, I think, 85 or 86, and y'all prayed for her. Of course, she had.
Yeah, you got a lot of longevity in your life.
No, not me. My papa, which was my dad's daddy, died at 65.
Oh, geez.
My mom's daddy, I think he died in his 50s or 60s.
Well, my dad's father died at 50.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, when I got past 50, I went, woo.
Oh.
But I saw that with my dad, too. When he was getting close to 50, and gosh, that would have made me, you know, 15, 20 years old. Who knows?
Oh, wow.
But I could see the tension on his face as he was getting close to that age. But then when he passed it, he was okay.
Really? Wow.
You know,
now, that's something to hear. I think
he thought he was going to go at 50 like his father did.
Yeah, that is strange, you know, George. But anyway, and then my other grandmother, which was on my mom's side, they thought she was over 100, and she died in the late 80s to 90s. So she was thinking over 100 years old when she passed. But remember last year I was talking about I felt death was stalking me?
Yes, I remember that.
And you know what it was, George? I think it was my dad's death. And the guy that you had, the last guest, and he was talking about, he turned over that recording, and his dad said, happy birthday. Boy, that was something. Now, he doesn't know if it was recorded ahead of time or if it was something that he...
Even still, the fact that it would pop up is pretty miraculous.
That was unbelievable. But what I wanted to tell you, my near-death experience, I used to work for the U.S. Bureau of Prisons at Oakdale, where they had the riot at with the Cubans in the late 90s and stuff, and the riot in Atlanta at the USP, which is the maximum security prison. Well, I came in the year after they rebuilt everything. And to be honest with you, I had a price on my head. But the inmates were so good to me that they warned me and told me if somebody tried to murder me, they were going to kill them. I told them, oh, no, don't do that.
No, don't do that.
I told them, don't do that.
Don't kill somebody on your account, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was some tense times in that prison and stuff. And anybody that's been in a prison environment, whether you've been a prison guard or prison inmate, it can be a tension, especially at these maximum security prisons.
Why did you want to be a prison guard?
Well, let me tell you something, George. As a military police officer and stuff, and we trained in corrections also, but I tried to be a police officer at the Alexandria Police Department, and they said they denied me. And so I just said, you know, I got a chance to get on with the federal government as a prison guard. And I'd studied this stuff at Louisiana Tech when I was going in. I'd studied criminality and then deviant behavior and stuff like that. And the way my parents raised me, and you know I'm a very godly man and stuff like that.
Yeah, you are.
And to treat people fair and honest and just listen to people. That's the key to a lot of things, George, and that's what you and Tommy, whether it's the callers or the guests, I can tell you, y'all are great listeners. You can pull things out of people that you couldn't imagine. And so a lot of times the inmates are not listened to, you know, and stuff like that. And you don't have to be a psychiatrist or one of the counselors or case managers or anything like that. You be a listening guard and find out if you can try to help them to a certain extent. Not bring in drugs or contraband or anything like that, but, you know, little things, you know, and they may want to talk to you about their problems and stuff, and you try to help them through, especially being a Christian. I was a Christian correctional officer, that's straight up. But, George, you know what? I think I had to go through this whole thing. I know I'm not going to ever get my pardon as far as from the federal government, but I've gotten my pardon from Christ. And some of your callers were talking about they had J.C. riding them in the passenger seat. And I thought about Jay-Z, you know, when he would call, but they were talking about Jesus Christ, of course. And if you got Christ in your life, I can see a lot of bad things getting ready to happen to the country. I hope people get out of these big cities. And, George, I know you're not taking the vaccine, but I don't see how you and Tommy are going to travel unless you get a private plane.
Well, we're not going to do that. I mean, if they mandate it, we're going to have to do it to be sure. But so far, they haven't done that yet. Let's find out what happens. Next up, let's go to Valerie in the Woodlands, and that's in the state of Texas. Hi, Val. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, it's great to talk to you. I listen to you all the time.
Well, thank you.
And I just wanted to say it was weird tonight because I was driving and listening to you speaking to Neil Slate, I believe his name was. And I have to buy his book, actually. It was very interesting, and it was kind of weird because he had mentioned the story about sending an email and then that person happened to be thinking of you, and you know, they send one back as well. And
yeah.
All these kind of weird things that happen.
Strange synchronicities.
Yeah, and so just kind of a weird thing, and actually this is why it was weird to listen to him tonight, because this actually happened to me today. Kind of similar thing is where my family actually has a running joke that I actually kill people.
Oh, no, that's not funny. What kind of a joke is that, right?
I know, not a joke, but the reason they say it in a joking way is they're like, oh, you're kidding, you know, we're talking about celebrities and things like that, and I think nobody, you know, that we know or anything like that. But it's where, and, you know, once or twice would be a coincidence, but this is more like where I will absolutely focus on a person. Like, we'll watch their movies, I'll think about them, and a couple days later, we'll hear that they died. And it's so weird because it happened just today with Christopher Plummer, 2 days ago, yep. Randomly.
91 years old, great actor.
Right, and you could predict that he, you know, 91, right? But 2 days ago, I was saying to my daughter that we need to watch The Sound of Music. And so that's where this kind of came from, is that, like, randomly, they'll look at me and go, Val, you know, you killed Christopher Plummer.
Well, now you want me to add to your synchronicity? Listen to this. As you're talking to me.
Okay.
And as you mentioned Christopher Plummer, I just got a text from guess who?
Who?
Russell Crowe, who starred in A Beautiful Mind with Christopher Plummer, who just texted me and said, George, if you get a moment, read my tweets on Christopher Plummer. I kid you not. I swear to God. That is unbelievable, isn't it?
No. That just gave me chills up and down my whole body. Seriously, that's really weird.
Talk about timing and synchronicity.
What's weird about this is that, like I said, once or twice, coincidence, right? This became a running joke in my family because it happens all the time. Like, I started watching Purple Rain with Prince. One weekend, I was obsessed. I was, like, watching Purple Rain. He died, like, that following week.
He died, yeah.
And it was exactly. Expected. He wasn't sick. He was young.
That happens to me. I had the run into Whitney Houston in Beverly Hills, a couple weeks before she died. And
Wow. She
was sitting on a couch with Bobby Brown. And, you know, I didn't know her, but I just walked by and said hi. I waved, and she waved back and smiled and stuff, and he did. I sat down and, you know, with the people I was with. But 2 weeks later, she was gone.
Wow. That's really weird. But the weird, I mean, I can't believe you got that text. That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did.
I mean, of all moments right now. And it's just so weird.
It's timing. And you're the only one who's brought up Christopher Plummer all night tonight.
It's really weird. I mean, that's really strange. And now I'm going to have to go watch A Beautiful Mind because I honestly don't even remember him in that.
Yep, he played the part of Dr. Rosen.
Oh, okay. Because I'll have to watch that. I did. I remember loving the movie, but I don't particularly remember him in that.
Yeah, he was a great actor.
Weird. Yeah, and it's just so weird because, like I said, you know, once or twice would be a coincidence, but then it just kind of keeps happening. And I've always thought... You know, not that I'm causing their death, but that it's like I'm somehow mildly clairvoyant or something, like, or whatever you would call that. I don't want to sound weird, but you know what I mean?
And you're not causing their deaths, Val, but what you are doing is picking up on their deaths. That's your gift. You're picking up the feeling and the knowledge that they're going to pass on. And, you know, Christopher Plummer died at the age of 91. He was the star of the original Sound of Music show. Hated his part, by the way, but what a great actor. Texts and tweets, what do you have, Tommy?
This one in from Claire in West Los Angeles. What's your favorite comedy movie?
My favorite comedy movie was... I can't remember the name. It's an old one. I mean, it's... I think the... Frankenstein one, Mel Brooks' Frankenstein.
Okay.
What's the name of that one?
It's called Young Frankenstein.
Right. And we had Clovis Leachman die last week.
Yes.
And you loved her in that part as...
Oh, my God.
Frau Brooker.
Okay, I'm going to give you my two favorite real quick. Just give
me... No, it's A Mad, 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 Mad World. I think that's it.
I never saw that.
That's the name. That's way back from the 60s, I think.
It's so funny?
67s. Yeah, hilarious.
Okay, real quick, my two favorite, give me one actor in each of these besides Cloris Leachman. Young Frankenstein?
Peter Sellers.
Okay, I would have said Gene Wilder, but that's
good. Gene Wilder, that's right, that's who I meant.
Blazing Saddles.
Marty Feldman was in it too, though, wasn't he?
In Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, so can I use that?
Sure.
Okay.
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles. What's his name? I don't know. Tell me somebody.
Alex Karras, the football player?
I knew Alex Karras.
He was in the movie.
He was a football player for what team?
I have no clue.
Detroit Lions.
Don't follow him.
I hired him for a TV show a long time ago.
He's a big guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Watch. Dedicated. Greek guy.
Watch Greek. Blazing Saddles. You'll laugh.
Okay. And do we have time for another call? Probably not. Probably not. But I want to come back to you right now, Tom, because we've only got a minute left, and ask you a question, of course. Did you ever watch, did you know Christopher Plummer, the actor?
No, not really. I don't think I've ever seen a movie with him in it.
I mean, can you put his face together with his name?
Only because I've seen it today.
Okay. All right. Good. Great actor.
Okay.
Great actor. But he was with A Beautiful Mind, and I had earlier... had asked Russell Crowe, give me a line, and he just got back to us. And as I just mentioned to Valerie, he has put on his tweet 12 different things about Christopher Plummer, and he said they're all great stories. He said, you got to read them all. So we'll get a hold of Sean and see if he can
I'll look for it. You know what? Speaking of Russell Crowe, did you see the trailer to his new movie, the car one?
I watched that movie.
What's it called?
It's on Netflix, Unhinged.
I got to look for it. It looks so good.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, looks really good.
Super movie. I mean, you got to pay for it, but it's a great movie.
Not on Netflix.
No, you do. It's a premium.
Oh,
you got to do that. Okay, we're going to come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.